Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and we're starting a very, very important, wonderful portion of Scripture. We're dealing with the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, dealing with this man, Abram, whom God called out of Ur of the Chaldees. May I just repeat one or two things I said before in my past lesson? This man, Abram, started a family through which the nations of the earth would be blessed. You remember that in the first seven or eight chapters, you have the whole world was one, and God witnessed to that world and then destroyed it by water. And then he repeopled the world through the descendants of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. When you come to chapter 9, you have the prophecy of Noah concerning his three sons. In chapter 10, you have the beginning of nations. No longer one race of people with one language, but they were scattered on the face of the earth. In chapter 10, where they were scattered. In chapter 11, the first few verses, why they were scattered. And then God picks up one man, Abram. And you follow through at the end of chapter 11, where he was born of a man by the name of Terah. And when you get to the end of the 11th chapter, you find where they're in Haran. They've left out of the Chaldees, have traveled north, and they stayed at Haran until Terah died. Terah died at the age of 205 years of age. He must have been 130 years of age when Abram was born. The chances are that Abram was the youngest of the three sons that he had. But what I'm trying to get to your heart is the full scope. You remember Genesis is the book of beginnings. And here from chapter 12 right on through until you come to the book of Acts, God is dealing with one nation, with the descendants of this man, Abraham. And starting in the 13th chapter of Acts, you have where the Apostle Paul with Barnabas goes out to the Gentile world with the gospel of the grace of God. And in 70 AD, he scatters Israel, and he deals now entirely with Gentiles. It's true that individual Gentiles, individual Jews, can come to the Savior. In other words, God today is not dealing with nations. If he was, he'd be dealing in judgment, in wrath. In fact, the nations of the earth will not learn righteousness except through his judgments. So we come down to this man, Abraham, who is called the father of those who believe. You have this in Galatians chapter 3. Those who are of faith are the children of Abraham. And Abraham, being the father of those who believe, is going to be tested in this life of faith. Remember, faith is the proving of the unseen. Faith is the human response to a divine revelation. The important thing is not your faith, but the object of your faith. All kinds of people have faith of one sort or another. But I'm talking about Christian faith is where the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was raised from the dead and exalted to be a prince and a savior, is the object of our faith. And God found this man down there in Ur of the Chaldees. And as Acts chapter 7, verse 2 and 3 says, the God of glory appeared unto him and said, get out. God was through with the human race. If you read that in the book of Romans chapter 1 from 18 on, where God gave men up to three things. He gave men up to uncleanness. He gave men up to vile affections. He gave men up to a reprobate mind. He gives you the reason for that in the chapter. Because they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like the man, birds, quadrupeds, creeping things. God gave them up to uncleanness. Because they changed the truth of God into a lie, he gave them over to vile affections. And because they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So having proved the complete sinfulness of the human race, he took a man by the name of Abram. You remember that? He took a man by the name of Abram and called him out. The depravity of the human race, or the depravity of man, being fully established, he turns in grace to one man. As Isaiah 51, you remember, says, look to the pit from which you have been digged, I call your father Abram when he was just one. Just one. And so you have this question of this man, Abram. I'm not going to go back over all the detail of what I said the other day concerning this man, Abram, except to point out that God found a man. I'm sure he was tired of the idolatry of the day, and God picked him up in sovereign grace. And Abram was found faithful in his heart, was obedient to God's voice, and he was called a friend of God. You remember that wonderful verse in Isaiah 41:8 where he said, Israel, my servant, but Abraham, my friend. It's mentioned three times in the Bible, Isaiah 41, 2 Chronicles 20, and James chapter 2. And it's through this man, Abram, that his son was going to come into the human race. And by the way, God has a right to say in what family his son should come. Now, way back in Genesis 12, he preached the gospel unto Abram, saying, In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I'm quoting Galatians chapter 3. He said, Not of many seeds, but of one seed, which is Christ. Now we come to chapter 12. And I would like for the next few lessons to deal with the test of this man's faith, following reading right through from chapter 12 down through chapter 25. We have this life of this man, Abram. I'm reading from chapter 12, and I'm going to take the time to read these few verses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. I will make you great, a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you. I will curse him that curseth you. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot, his nephew, went with him. And Abram was 75 years of age when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. That means they went straight north from Haran and came round into the Lebanese Valley and down through Damascus and down into Canaan. And I read in verse 6, And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Notice that place. The descendants of Ham were living in that land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto your seed will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now, let me just suggest to you two or three things concerning this man, Abram. You'll notice that it says here, And now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out. As I say from Acts chapter 7, the God of glory appeared unto him and said, Get out. And you know, when the God of glory speaks, it's for us to obey. It might be well for me, just for a second before I take this up, to suggest to you the various tests of Abram. You know, in chapter 12, we have two tests. He is tested as to the fervency of his faith. Then he is tested as to the sufficiency of his faith. When you come to chapter 13, he is tested as to the humility of faith. In 14, to the courage of faith. The end of 14, the dignity of faith. In 15, we have the reward of faith. In 16, we have the sample faith. And then when you come to 17, there you have the revelation of God as, in chapter 16 we have the patience of faith, and 17 the sample of faith, where God is revealed as El Shaddai. In chapter 18 you have the energy of faith, where he becomes the intercessor. When we come to chapter 22, you have the obedience of faith when he offered up Isaac. So as we come into this This series of studies, I just trust it'll be a source of wonderful blessing to your own heart. That's all I'm concerned about, is your heart before God. The possibility of us walking with God under any circumstance. Some of Abraham's tests, he comes through victorious. Some other tests, he fails. It's well for us to watch where Abram failed, how easy it is for us to fail the same way. But it's true that God has made provision for his people in any age, under any circumstance, to walk with him. We had that, you remember, in chapter 5, and we had it also in chapter 6. We have where Enoch walked with God for 300 years in an ungodly world. You have Noah walking with God in the midst of a violent, corrupt world. Abraham is going to be walking with God in the midst of an idolatrous world. See, there's no excuse for me, there's no excuse for you, if you love the Savior, to walk with God, whatever our circumstances may be. Now, this first one is the fervency of faith in chapter 12, 1 through verse 9. The fervency of his faith. Is his faith fervent enough to leave the ties of nature? This is the first test. Is Abraham willing to leave his country, his father's house, his kindred, and go on to a land that God would show him? You see, this is the test. The call is in verse 1, as I have said, in Acts chapter 7, verse 2 and 3, the God of glory appeared on him and said, get out. Yeah, the same thing in Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham believed God and went out not knowing whither he went. Just the plain word of God. It's enough that God speaks. So he's called to go out from his country. Now the test is, shall he leave his land? The land of his forefathers. Shall he leave his family? Shall he leave his kindred? It's a call to separation. You recognize that. Indeed, the very first step in a walk with God is separation. It's hard, you know. This question of separation is a hard one. See, now you remember when he left, he took Terah with him. Or should I say, Terah may have taken his hand and said, I'm going to go with you, Abram. And they all went up to Haran. And they stayed there until Terah died. And then from there, they moved on. And Abram was 75 years of age when he came into the land. But as I say, the very first step in a walk with God is separation. You find this test all along the way. You find it in the next chapter, and so on. And you know, Israel never learned this. God had separated Israel from the nations of the earth that they might be a testimony for him to the other nations. And this they never learned. They mixed up with the nations. This is possibly one of the greatest tests of a Christian. The moment one becomes a Christian, accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, sometimes he loses his friends. You know, it's not hard to give up friends for Christ. The hardest thing is when the friends give you up, and give me up. That's when our pride is hurt, you know. Not when we give them up. There's a certain sense of sacrifice and joy of giving up for Christ's sake. But when they give you up, it kind of hurts. I know what I'm talking about. You do too. But this is the first step in a walk with God. See, you remember Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they have an appointment? This is it. We got an appointment with God. So the test. Now notice something else in these first two or three verses. I want you to go to a land that I will show you. He didn't say, I'm going to give it to you. I'm just going to show you this land. Call for a walk of faith. Get out from your country. Does it stop there? Oh, no. Mark the promise. If you leave your country, the promise is I'll make you a great nation. Leave your kindred. What's the promise? I'll make your name great. leave your father's house, but I'll make you a great family. See, the hardest thing is to leave father's house. But he said, I've got something for you. I've got a purpose in doing this, says God. I'm going to make you a great family. Then he adds, and in thy name will all the families of the earth be blessed. See, I will bless them that bless you. I will curse him that curseth you. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And by the way, you know that's true all down through history. The blessing and the curse, right on down through history. Abram went out not knowing whither he went. And wherever he was a blessing. And those who rejected him came under the judgment of God. I say this has been true all down through the centuries, even right down to the present time. Spain at one time took the Jewish people in and then turned around and persecuted them, killed them, martyred them. And they fled for their life. Many went to Germany, and Spain became a third-rate nation. Instead of being the leading nation, became the third-rate nation. For 400 years they were in Germany. Germany took them in. They came under the blessing of God. And then the time came when Germany thrust them out. And as you know, in the last war, how many millions were slain of the Germans? And Germany lost the battle. And Germany lost. Doesn't have what it used to have. Take America. One of the great blessings that God has showered upon America is because it's been a haven to the Jewish people. Now, whether you like it or not, this is so. See, well, they're different to everybody else. I'll grant you that. And there are some times you feel very angry with them. That may be true. But nevertheless, they're descendants of Abram. And God says, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse him that curseth you. And one of the reasons for the blessing of God upon America is because we have opened up to the Jewish people, to home for the Jewish people. I really believe that the blessing of God is upon our country, not only because of the home for the Jew, but because of the number of real believers in Christ. It'd be a sad day, when we become anti-Semitic. And when you become anti-Semitic, the next thing is you'll persecute Christians, real Christians. This is history, my friend. This is history. Wherever you've gone, in Spain, when they turned on the Jew, they turned on the Christian. Same in Germany. Same now, wherever you go. And this still stands true. This was made to Abram 2,000 years B.C. I will bless them that bless you. I will curse him that curseth you. You follow through. You follow through Abram's life. The blessing that came upon those who were good to Abram, and so on. This is history. Now then, he entered the land when he was 75 years of age. You go down to verse 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. I remember, he's in the midst of idolaters and those who were in opposition to the living God. And the Lord appeared unto Abram. Now this is the second time in Genesis. He appeared unto Adam. He appeared now unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. First of all, I'm going to show you a land in verse 1. Verse 7, I'm going to give this land to your seed. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Will you please notice there are two things that characterize Abram's life. See, an altar and a tent. The altar speaks of worship. The tent speaks of his pilgrim character. Remember, he's living in the midst of the Canaanites. He's living in tents. He's not living in a city. He's living in tents. He and his whole company are living in tents. And they build an altar. The very center would be the altar. Just think of it. In the midst of paganism, in the midst of idolatry, here's a man with his company comes and he builds an altar and he worships the unseen God, the living eternal God, the God of glory. What a testimony this must have been among these pagan Canaanites. He had a different God to them. He wasn't worshiping their gods. And so we have it here. He built an altar. Then his tent speaks of his pilgrim character. And these two things characterize his life wherever he went, the altar and the tent. Now may I make one further statement. When Abram is out of the will of God, you never read of an altar or a tent. When he's in the will of God, you have the altar and the tent. When he's out of the will of God, no altar, no tent. In other words, when you and I are out of fellowship with God, there's no altar, there's no real fellowship with God. When we walk out of the will of God, there's no testimony, no tent. And as Peter says, as pilgrims and strangers on the earth, you see, that's what we are. So I'm just going to leave that with you for today. But I want you to mark this. The fervency of faith. He's willing to leave land, home, kindred, everything. Just because God said, get out and I'll show you a land. And he went out not knowing whether he went. But I tell you, my friend, when the God of glory speaks, it's for us to obey. And when he speaks to us in his word, we ought to obey. As I said the other day, faith is demonstrated by obedience. And obedience is the measure of our love for the Savior. Now the Lord bless you today, and may his face shine upon you for his name's sake.